this is your Polycast for Thursday, March 2nd, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, real ID legislation is tied up over immigrant driver's licenses, and permit-to-carry applications are way up. Governor Mark Dayton is at the Mayo Clinic today for prostate cancer surgery. He expects to be out of action for about a week. Doctors say his cancer is treatable. Overdue efforts to bring Minnesota into compliance with the federal Real ID law have hit another snag at the Capitol. Senate Republicans are accusing Governor Dayton of trying to derail the legislation because it doesn't allow unauthorized immigrants to obtain driver's licenses. Those immigrants aren't allowed to get a license now, but Dayton wants to change that. Tim Pugmire has the story.
Minnesota is one of the few remaining states that has not upgraded its driver's licenses to conform to stricter federal standards. People could have trouble boarding flights at airports and getting into federal buildings as of next January. Republican Senator Eric Pratt of Prior Lake said the public won't accept another failure to get a real ID fix this session.
I think most Minnesotans are going to be outraged that we couldn't work together and get this done.
Pratt and other Republicans say the latest obstacle to the Real ID implementation is Governor Dayton. During a news conference, Republican Senate Majority Leader Paul Gazelka of Nisswa said the governor is working behind the scenes with Senate Democrats to prevent passage of the bill unless it includes an opening for immigrant licenses. Gazelka said the two issues should not be linked.
That should be worked on separately. If people want to pass that, they should work on separate language. But to include it with Real ID jeopardizes Real ID.
Republicans hold a slim 34-33 majority in the Senate. Gazelka acknowledged that DFL help is needed to pass the bill because a few GOP senators strongly oppose Real ID.
It's either going to pass because we have a team effort or it's not. And so when the governor says and meets with them and says, I want you to defeat it, that's a problem.
Dayton insists that he's been up front with Republicans about the immigration license issue all along. The same disagreement prevented a final resolution on Real ID last session. Dayton said allowing licenses for unauthorized immigrants would improve public safety, but it would need explicit legislative approval. He wants that approval in the bill.
Very distressing that they would, you know, try to make a political case out of this and... if they'd acted last year, as I suggested, in the legislative session, this would all be resolved and we'd be underway. So, this is entirely their creation, and any delays that are occurring now are entirely their responsibility.
Dayton did not say whether he would sign a Real ID bill without the immigrant language he seeks, but he confirmed that he talked to Democrats this week about what they could do to help.
I met with the DFL Senate caucus last night and said, if you want to give us this opportunity to proceed, then, you need to hold together and assist on that as part of the Senate bill and then resolve it in conference.
DFL Senate Minority Leader Tom Bach of Cook said he plans to meet next week with Senator Gazelka to discuss the Real ID bill. Bach said his caucus has supported licenses for unauthorized immigrants in the past, and he's not aware of any desire to change.
The dirty little secret is they're driving now. And, they don't have car insurance, because how are you going to get car insurance without a driver's license? So they're putting the public safety at risk. So I think there's a conversation that we've got to have about that.
Last week, the House passed a Real ID bill that would also prevent unauthorized immigrants from getting driver's licenses. Republican House Speaker Kurt Dowd said the governor knows that a separate immigrant bill wouldn't have the votes.
So what he's trying to do is attach it to something that he knows has already passed this chamber as a vehicle to get it passed into law, rather than actually introduce a bill to deal with the issue that he wants to pass and then advocate for its passage.
Covering politics, I'm Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News at the Capitol.
A new report from the State Bureau of Criminal Apprehension says Minnesota issued a record high number of permits to carry firearms in 2016. Sheriffs reported granting more than 71,000 permits to carry, a nearly 60% increase over the number issued in 2015. The BCA says it doesn't know why there was a big increase. NPR News reporter Brant Williams looked at the data.
We also know sheriffs denied more than 650 permits. They revoked about 56 of them. And they also show that people with permits committed nearly 1,500 crimes. That's a number which sheriffs say represents a very small portion of people who commit crimes. And according to the BCA, that's more than 80% of the crimes committed by those permit holders were DWIs or some other kind of traffic offense.
Gun rights advocates and those who study the industry say politics appears to drive sales and that the 2016 spike may be related to the presidential campaign. Since 2010, Minnesota has held its primary election in August to determine the fall campaign lineup, and since then, state elections officials and others have complained about low voter turnout at the height of summer vacation. Now there's another move afoot to move the primary to June. Brian Baxt has the story.
In 2014, Republicans had a hotly contested four-way race to decide their nominee for governor, and Democrats were in the midst of an expensive battle for state auditor. Only 10% of the state's eligible voters bothered to cast ballots. 2 years later, that turnout fell even more, to the lowest level since such records were kept in 1950. Some of the 2016 drop-off had to do with the fact there wasn't a big race to draw voters out. But some said the dismal turnout is also about timing. Representative Jim Nash was involved in a primary in 2014 and says he struggled to get voters engaged in the dead of summer.
I almost had to light myself on fire, it seemed, to get people to get out to vote. Some might think that was a good idea. But what I found was it was unbelievably difficult to get people to go to the polls.
Nash, a Waconia Republican, made that comment as a House committee considered a bill to hold future primary elections in the third week of June. He favors the move, and the committee defeated an attempt to shelve the bill. It could be part of a broader elections package still taking shape. The change has the backing of DFL Governor Mark Dayton. He won't be on next year's ballot, but his office will be.
I think it behooves both parties, since there'll be a strong contest for my successor, to have that decision made at the beginning of the summer, have the intra-party disagreements resolved, and then give the whole summer and fall to one candidate from each party, and there'll be other parties too.
The state's chief elections officer, Democratic Secretary of State Steve Simon, also favors moving the date up. The bill has gotten tripped up before. Some lawmakers worry about facing intense primaries while they're tied up with the legislative session, which typically doesn't adjourn until late May. Senate Minority Leader Tom Bach of Cook says he used to be a supporter of a June vote and thinks it has merit for statewide races. But as a legislative leader who recruits candidates, it now makes him nervous.
Because a potential candidate that might want to come challenge you in a primary can be out knocking doors and working towards the primary while the incumbent candidate is stuck here at the legislature in session. And that last month of session, it's, it easily could be till midnight every night. It's not as though there's any time to go out and compete in a primary.
Opponents also argue a shift would force candidates to get out of the gate sooner and keep up the pace for many more weeks. They say that would only drive up the cost of running for office and expose the public to extended political brawling. DFL Representative Rick Hansen of South St. Paul has that view.
I don't think people want to be looking at lawn signs when they're on the way driving to their kids' graduation in May.
A lobbyist for Minnesota townships pointed to a possible complication. Local elections officials, who often have other roles too, routinely hold trainings in June and would have to fit those courses in elsewhere if the date is moved up. Covering politics, I'm Brian Baxt at the Capitol.
And that's your Polycast for this Thursday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom.